This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Rico, you know Dave likes to switch what he sleeps in every night, so we shouldn't be surprised about him switching the pronunciation of words.
I'm going to try pajamas,
animal.
I'm going from one extreme to the other. I'm going from naked to full-on dress pajamas. I would imagine Dave, he feels like he could be a pants guy.
I'm boxers and a t-shirt.
Boxers got the big hole. Like, who wears boxers anyway still? That's another issue.
Why do you care what I'm wearing?
People don't wear boxers anymore?
This is DCR.
It's a huge gaping hole in those boxers.
I mean, if it falls out, it goes back in at some point. I don't know. I'm not paying attention. I'm sleeping.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Special technique of shadow boxing.
All right, this is it, people. A big 7 o'clock bonanza, as it would be. Adam Schefter, 7:15. Mike Tenenbaum, 7:35. Will you ask Schefter, Rick, since you guys have a love-hate relationship anyway, if he's a boxers guy?
No, I don't think you ask Schefter a question like that.
Why?
Because I think there's certain guests that you can ask questions like that. I don't think Schefter.
We can ask Mike that question. Tenenbaum,
you
we can
idiot.
Ask
idiot.
Well, Tenenbaum's a regular on the show. I mean, you asked him if he farted. I mean, that's, I think we've already...
Well, not an... I mean, he did.
Well, yeah. Wow. I mean, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He said... It sounded like...
They had
shot,
35 runs, 31... 35 runs, 33 passes.
Of course he farted.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So you don't think that could be him just hitting his microphone?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. I mean, try to make that noise hitting your microphone. I don't think anybody could ever duplicate. No, it doesn't make that noise.
No, that does not make that noise.
No, it doesn't make that noise. You're right.
I love that uh-oh drop.
Uh-oh.
You want to try to give Mike T the benefit of the doubt.
I love
man.
Mike. You and I like
they had 35 runs, 31, 35 runs, 33 passes.
No. So polite, though. At least he was polite when he did it.
Good for him.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. That's one of those ones where you're just hoping that you're wearing dark boxer briefs.
Oh, boy.
Just in case.
Matty Auslander, by the way. I can't believe I'm saying this. But H. Dumpty 39 turns Rothenberg ESPN into a sympathetic character. He never lets Dave speak and is always contrarian to anything the great Rothenberg says. Team Rothenberg ESPN for me.
The great Rothenberg. He's one of your cronies is what he is.
He didn't put that. I added that. Yeah. In actuality, if you want to quote it appropriately, it says he never lets Dave speak and is always contrarian. I added the great.
What do you mean I never let you speak? You talk most of
the
show.
That's how people feel.
You can't even allow me to do a read. Like you pretend like you forget that I actually have reads when I know you're
pretend,
just doing it on purpose.
I forgot.
How could you forget? RJ has an alarm set.
I know. It was embarrassing. But I did. I wrote it down. Says Rick's read, and he has an alarm set, and he gets in my ear like 30 seconds before. He's like, don't forget, Rick has a read. Set him up for it. Gotcha, RJ. Great. Get ready, pal. You got a read coming up. I hope you completely soil yourself in just a couple of minutes. Speaking of soiling himself. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. So let's get back to it. 800-919-3776. I like the trade for the Jets. I'm not in love with it. There was conversation, you know, earlier in the offseason they could get a one. That always seemed a little bit... unrealistic for my taste, but a 2-4 and a 6 and a 2-4 next year, I think Douglas did well. I'm pleased.
Yeah, this is one of those situations, Dave, where you can't really say that just one side won this deal. I feel like this was a solid deal for both sides. For the Jets, they get a chance to reset the money at the quarterback position, and Joe Douglas gets a chance to draft a guy that he actually believes in. Like, I just don't feel like he had that belief in Sam Darnold that he was going to be his franchise quarterback to live and die with that guy. So Joe Douglas gets to do that. And the Carolina Panthers, they were starved to try to upgrade at the quarterback position. And now they have that opportunity with Sam Darnold. So we'll see how it plays out with those players at their respective teams. But for the Jets, the decision based on where the franchise was at and where they're at in the landscape of this division, it made sense to move off of Sam.
Yeah, I think we all agree that, I mean, Sam going to Carolina, I mean, he's in a good spot. And he probably, I mean, I would imagine that he's going to look like a much better version of, I mean, he has to look because he couldn't be any worse. I mean, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I don't know how good Sam Darnold is going to be, but he's going to a team that's got a really good head coach, a really good, smart offensive coordinator, right, with Joe Brady.
Absolutely.
You can make the argument, I mean, one of the best, if not the best, offensive weapons in the National Football League in
Christian
McCaffrey.
That's the thing. He's got dynamic weapons. I mean, he's reunited with Robbie Anderson, who was good. And he's got Christian McCaffrey, who is great.
So, yeah, so he could be good in this spot. I just don't think the entire time, just haven't gone through a situation like this where you have, you're a high draft pick that has tons of expectations and you're on some teams that aren't so good. And the expectation is that, you know, you put yourself on that bad team is because you're such a high draft pick, things will just instantly turn around, which isn't the case. It's a team sport. It takes more than just one person. It's not the NBA where you can, you know, one person can make that much of a difference. Is that I think he could be good. I just don't think after what's happened for the last 3 years, that was going to be here.
Yeah, I don't think he was going to be able to get it turned around here either, Rico, just because he was never going to get the benefit of the doubt with Jets fans. Like, there wasn't going to be a whole lot of margin for error if Sam got off to a slow start this year, just based on what the Jets would do in terms of passing on taking a quarterback with the second overall pick. Like, Sam was going to have to be good game one, and that's a ton of pressure, especially in this market, for a young quarterback to have to deal with. And
when you're clearly Sam the fourth best team in this division, right?
Clearly. And yeah. Sam is still a developing player, Dave. Like, that's the other part of this that I don't think people realize. He's still a young guy. Sam is, what, 23 years old?
Yep.
So, I mean, he's still a young player that's trying to develop, and I just feel like the infrastructure is in place in Carolina for him to be able to do that, and the Jets are just now starting to develop that here within their organization. So I just feel like for a whole host of reasons, it made sense for both sides to part company. And Sam is going to have every opportunity to be successful, and I think the Jets are going to give Zach Wilson every opportunity to be successful because guess what? Their jobs depend on it.
Let's go to Dave in Jersey City. Good morning, Dave. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to say apologize to Canty. I called yesterday. You guys let me through. Thank you. And I went in on Canty about choosing Zach Wilson or Deshaun Watson over him. And practically giving up, you know, everything you had just to get Deshaun, and then they were set on Wilson. I just wanted to apologize to him, and I don't like it. I think we should have held on to Darnold at least till draft day or maybe a month after because we don't have no veteran quarterback. What's your take on that? Who's a good veteran quarterback that we need?
I like Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith would be a perfect fit.
Yeah. I like Mullins.
I don't think either one is a bad way to go. And I think you will have more options, more opportunities to make a move for a backup quarterback once we get on the other side of the draft. But I just feel like the reason why the Jets pulled the trigger now is because the Carolina Panthers obviously put a clock on this thing. Like, the Carolina Panthers wanted to know whether or not they were going to be able to get Sam Darnold in a trade before the draft so they could develop their draft strategy. It's the only reason why this move takes place before the draft and not after.
I feel like I could be having a Don LaGreca moment right now. We have Marquis at Valley College. Is that right, Marquis?
Valley College.
I knew it. Yeah. RJ set me up there. All right. Go ahead, Marquis.
I don't understand why all this love for the Jets quarterback, but nobody else was ringing the phone for him. One of the other teams that did value him. And you said all the other players, he had no players. They're all professional players. Everybody's professional. Even the coach. He want to jump on the coach, but nobody's getting blamed for the coaches, the offensive coordinator. We love Sam Darnold as a person, but as a player, let's be honest, he didn't live up to his value. And other quarterbacks lost all their weapons, and they see value in all these other quarterbacks in the league. But for some reason, we enhanced with in love with Sam Darnold. But he hasn't done nothing. Most good quarterbacks win the game on their own. I didn't say one game that he won on his own, that it was his try that won him the game.
Well, no, you can't say that, Marquis. I mean, he's had some good moments. I mean, he had enough moments? No, he hasn't had enough moments. I think people are sympathetic to Sam because you can see how poorly he was managed by the Jets.
Terribly.
They hired Crazy Eyes Killer, Adam Gase, to be his quarterback.
But Chris, go back. I mean, we talked about this at the time. You have to make sure you're ready. Like, you're in a spot where there's talent on the team,
mm-hmm.
and you have stability in the front office and the coaching staff. That would symbolize to me that you're ready to draft your quarterback of the future because he's going to be developed the right way because they need talent around them. They need stability. They need continuity. And if you ever thought, if McCagnan, he did such a great job of moving from 6 to 3, but if there was ever a thought in the back of your mind that Todd Bowles was going to be on the hot seat, And he could be fired after year one of Sam Darnold. You should have fired him before you drafted Sam Darnold then. That should have been prerequisite Because now all of a sudden Sam plays 1 year, you fire the coach, and then you make another mistake by deciding to hire Adam Gase. Like, from the get-go, the thing was a complete disaster.
It was broken from the jump. You're right. And you knew it, too. It felt like it's not all the time that you feel like, boy, this is not right. And then you're exactly right, you know? Like, all the time, like, oh, look, like Julius Randle. We hated him. We didn't want him. All of a sudden, he turns it around. He's different. And it happens all the time that you're just wrong on your take. But this one seems so obvious, and sadly for the Jets fan, it was. It played out exactly as you feared it might.
Yeah, Dave, but here's the thing. You can't compound that mistake by deciding to stay with Sam just because he didn't have a fair shake. Like, that's the one thing that Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh had to have some resolve about, because if you don't believe that Sam Darnold is capable of being your quarterback, if he's capable of being good, then you got to move on from him. It's not about feeling bad for the kid. It's about trying to move the organization forward. And clearly, they didn't feel comfortable with going with Sam over taking a quarterback with the number 2 overall pick.
And I think it's the right move.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Big time NFL insider Adam Schefter. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Dave, Rick, Chris, good morning. Sorry for the miscommunication yesterday. I apologize about that.
Well, we are thrilled to have you today. So let's get right to it. From the Jets' standpoint, do you like this trade of Sam Darnold for them?
Listen, the Carolina Panthers' first offer for Sam Darnold was a fourth-round pick. It started with a fourth-round pick and wound up at a 6th this year and a 2 and a 4 next year. So, yes, he is the former number 3 overall pick. And, yes, you are not getting back what you gave up to get him. But the fact of the matter is they loved Zach Wilson. They were going in that direction. It's not an ideal circumstance to have two quarterbacks in the building, as much as some other teams have been able to make that work in the past. And if you're going to start over with all these picks, you might as well do it the right way. Give Sam Darnold a chance to go on. Get 3 picks back. I actually think, I really do, that it's good for the Jets. It's good for the Panthers. And it's good for Sam Darnold. And that's how a trade should work out, that everybody should be happy. And in the end, I think that's exactly what happens here.
Adam, was Carolina the only team that was interested in trading for Sam?
It was the only team involved in active discussions for Sam. There had been other teams that had checked in. At one point, there had been some communication with about 7 different teams early on. And then teams make moves, right? Washington goes and signs Ryan Fitzpatrick. Chicago goes and signs Andy Dalton. Denver still hasn't made a move. I think now, even though there had been that much contact with that many teams, really in the end, it had come down to Carolina and Denver. But Denver really wasn't actively engaged at all. So to me, to answer your question, yes, in the end, Carolina was the only team. Now, the Jets could have decided to trade him, let's say, February 15th, and maybe there would have been more interest. But let me tell you something. If Joe Douglas ever got offered a 1 for him, he would have made the move. They could never get that done. You know, at one point, San Francisco was talking to them about Darnold, and then San Francisco went a different direction. And so you're looking for the right return, a fair return, and until you feel like you had it, you're not going to move them. And I said yesterday, I said on GetUp, as we were talking, they're not going to trade Sam Darnold until they get what they believe is a fair package. And in the end, they felt like the 3 picks were a fair package.
And Shefty, I wanted to ask you about the timing of this move, because I was wondering why the Jets didn't wait until they actually drafted a quarterback at 2. Why make the decision weeks before the NFL draft to trade their starting quarterback, Sam Darnold?
Because why would you wait? Again, for all we know, Carolina goes and trades up to number 4. Mm-hmm. Carolina decides, you know what, let's go sign... let's go try to trade for Deshaun Watson, who's embroiled in his own situation right now. And what if the Jets lose the Panthers option? What if they lose that option? who's trading three picks for Sam Darnold? Tell me.
Well, here's the thing. I was just wondering that question. I mean, I didn't think that Carolina would trade up to four with a division rival in the Atlanta Falcons in order to get a quarterback. I just wondered, you know, we've seen teams in the past with high picks decide to wait to move on from the incumbent until they draft their quarterback. We saw it last year with Joe Burrow. I was just curious as to the timing of it. I thought that the Jets would wait to make that decision.
Yeah. What I would say is they knew they were going quarterback at two. That was never in question. And you're not going to wait when you feel like you've got what is the best offer to date, the fairest offer, and who knows what could happen between now and then to lose out on that offer. And then what if you do lose out on that offer, and maybe you don't have really many offers at all, and now you've got the two quarterbacks going to camp this summer, which is not ideal. And not only is it not ideal because you have to make a decision on Sam Darnold's fifth-year option. And so now if you decline that, now you're really stuck with the guy. So they want to move in that direction, and they just felt like the time to do this was right now.
Adam Schefter with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So I would imagine, Adam, it seems like a no-brainer. This clears the path. Zach Wilson will be the Jets' pick at number two as far as you're concerned now, or is that still open for interpretation?
I texted him yesterday afternoon. I said, welcome to New York. Yes.
Wow, the confidence. Wow. This is why we love having Schefter on. Schefter, you mentioned Deshaun Watson, and Carolina seemed like one of the teams that was really interested in Deshaun Watson. Where do we stand right now as far as what's going on with this situation, first and foremost, and is there still a possibility with everything he's dealing with that he could still be traded?
Well, listen, we have the Houston police investigating him. We have the NFL investigating him. I'm sure we have the Houston Texans looking into it. Other teams that were considering a move, and let me say this, nobody wanted Deshaun Watson anymore than the Carolina Panthers. Nobody. And they wrestled with that decision about what to do, whether they could get him, what would they would have to give up to go get him. And in the end, ultimately, they decided to trade for Sam Darnold, which tells me either they didn't think it was worth trading for Deshaun Watson, they didn't think the Texans were going to trade Deshaun Watson, or they didn't like where that whole situation was going with Deshaun Watson. It absolutely is one of those. Because their owner, David Tepper, was enamored with Deshaun Watson. And he played in Clemson. The whole area knew him. They needed a quarterback like that. It would have been perfect. They had long discussions about him. They seriously considered making a major run at him. And it's one of the questions I'm curious about today. I'll call down there today to speak to them. But something changed to where they said, we're not going to do that, and we're going to go with Sam Darnold. And I don't know what that is, but obviously either they couldn't get him or they weren't going to get him.
Schefter, what happens to Teddy Bridgewater now?
He gets moved. And again, it's a limited market. There are not a lot of teams out there. Who could use a quarterback at this moment? Denver could use somebody to compete with Drew Locke, and the Broncos general manager, George Payton, was with the Vikings front office when they had Teddy Bridgewater there in Minnesota. Maybe the Saints have had him before and are familiar with him. The Patriots still are looking for another guy to team with Cam Newton. Outside of that, I don't see an obvious landing spot, but I do see Carolina moving on from him. I don't think they're going to keep him a year after paying him. The question is how much of that salary they'll have to absorb. And I go back to the time of the Matthew Stafford trade earlier this offseason. One of the very, very first teams in on Matthew Stafford was the Carolina Panthers, and they offered Teddy Bridgewater and the 8th overall pick to the Lions for Matthew Stafford, and the Lions ultimately decided to go with the package offered from the Rams.
Adam Schefter, that's your 98.7 ESPN. I know Rick wants to ask you about the backup quarterback situation with the Jets, but I want to quickly sprinkle in the Giants here because you said that you already welcomed Zach Wilson to New York. That's pretty much done in your mind. What are you hearing with the Giants at 11 right now?
Well, they're in a good spot here because what's going to happen is you're going to see minimum 3, I think 4, potentially even 5 although that becomes more and more in question every day, quarterbacks go. The Giants would love to have five quarterbacks go in front of them. Because if five quarterbacks go in front of them, there's a heck of a player that's dropping to number 11 in their slot. And with each of these quarterbacks that goes, and that's why it was not a great thing for the Giants to see Sam Darnold traded to the Panthers yesterday, because that means that the Giants may have the selection of one fewer blue-chip player at their spot. We wait to see. But the Giants want five quarterbacks to be drafted in front of them, if that's possible. That's what they hope. That's what they hope.
Shefty, so Dave kind of mentioned it. I would love, I mean, you're drafting Zach Wilson. I would love a veteran presence, obviously, in that quarterback room. I think Alex Smith would be a great fit. Have you heard anything about what the Jets are considering doing? Does Alex Smith even still want to play? Like, what are they? Have you heard anything about their backup quarterback plans?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that, because over the weekend I was talking with, I got obviously a number of friends who are Jets fans, and some of them are neurotic about it, and one of them was saying, you know, what are they going to do? So they're going to trade Sam and they'll draft Zach. And who's the backup? And I go, who cares who's the backup right now? That's what I said to over the weekend. And I'll be honest. I'm sure they have an idea. They've been talking about trading Sam long enough to know what direction they're going to go. I don't know who it is yet. It's not a difficult position to fill. We'll see what direction they decide. I don't know the answer, but they'll bring in somebody that'll be very good for Zach Wilson.
Shefty, what are you hearing about who's going to be the third quarterback off the board?
Oh, it'll be Mac Jones.
Shefty, in saying that, I get it. It makes sense. So I would imagine if it's Mac Jones, that means that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be traded then?
No, not right now. I think... Again, right now the plan would be for the 49ers to, again, if the draft were held today, they've got to go through the process and they've got to assess all the quarterbacks. I believe that in the end, they will pick Mac Jones at 3. That'll be the pick. And they will keep Jimmy Garoppolo this year. Now, look, could New England decide we're going to give you this and this on draft day or draft weekend, and the Niners make a decision to trade him? Yeah, that could be. But I could just tell you that their plan was they believe they've got a Super Bowl caliber roster, a playoff caliber roster, and that they want to draft a quarterback and have that guy sit on the bench, learn, get acclimated. Even though some people say Mac Jones is ready to play right away. And then after the season, you move on from Jimmy. But a couple of things. Number one, the roster is ready to win now, and they think a veteran is more capable of taking the team further right now. And number two, Jimmy Garoppolo has missed most of two of the past three seasons with injuries. So, again, you want him to leave the roster, but there are no assurances that he's even going to remain healthy. And so if he's not healthy, well, then you have the quarterback you draft at number three, who I believe ultimately will be Mac Jones.
Wow. Interesting stuff. Adam, we're going to let you run. I know this can be awkward. Rick, as you know, can be very shy. I'd like to try to facilitate the two of you guys going out for that sushi meal. Rick said it would be on him, and he would love to get that done. Is that something you're willing to do? Will you take it under consideration?
Absolutely.
At least?
Post-draft, would be 100% my pleasure. We'll go grab lunch, dinner, whatever you want, Rick. You tell me what you want to do.
Well, it's up to you, Shefty. My treat.
We'll figure it out. You have my cell phone number, right?
No, I don't have it. I just we can set it up. I didn't want to be intrusive. We love having you on the show, and I know you love that sushi place. I love it too. So I figured it'd be the perfect opportunity for us to break some bread.
It'd be lovely.
Yeah, I'd be honored. And so I'll shoot you my cell on DM. I'm a 54-year-old guy. I'll slide into your DMs, right? Is that
perfect. Very well said. Very beautifully said. Adam, we appreciate it. We will talk to you soon. Thanks so much, as always, for coming on the show. Great stuff.
You guys have a great day. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. That, of course, is Adam Schefter. You see what I do for you? You see?
Well, you made me uncomfortable because initially I thought that is not where
I thought
I was going to go.
You thought I was going to ask him about his boxers?
Well, I thought you were going to set me up to ask it.
No.
And you know, once
I would,
you make
no,
me do
because I'm not like
I'm
that
do
to
it.
I'm here to facilitate your greatness. And that's
like
what I
had to ask when I had to ask Ninkovich about Brady. You forced me to that one.
You set that up. But this, I wanted you to be able to have a meal with Adam. I think it'd be good for you. I think it'd be good for us. I think it'd be good for everybody.
You know what's amazing about Shefty?
I'm your friend.
Is the level of certainty he has when he answers these questions.
Right?
Right? I texted him, welcome to New York. And that was it. That was his whole answer.
The best part is, though, it's like you ask him a question. Like, he's at a point now where he's, like, he can just pick up the phone. He's like, hey, that's a question I have for Carolina. I'm going to call back. I'm going to call down there today.
Yeah, I'll call Matt. We'll get that done.
You know they're going to answer his call.
I'm going to call DT. Dave, he'll get me on the plane. We'll figure that out.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Rick, do you see what I do for you?
No, I'm not going to feed the beast. I know what you're doing here. I'm going to go with the last question.
Should.
Like, I jump-started these three people's careers. This is what an egomaniac you are.
Look at what I've done. Look at what I've done. You, Shefty, man of his word, I will DM you my number and what just happened for you moments ago.
Shefty slid into the DMs.
There you go.
Yeah, well played by you. Listen, I should have given you more credit. I thought the second you said that Rick is shy and you don't want this to be uncomfortable,
right,
you're going to spring on me. He wants to ask you a question about his underwear situation.
I would not have done that to you. I'm a better teammate.
Not done that to me. You set me up the other day to admit that I cheated on a.
I did not. I didn't set you up at all to do that. You just did that on your own.
You knew I would fold.
I didn't realize you'd fold that beautifully. I'd do it all the time if I knew we were going to go there. All right, let's bring him in, Mike.
All of a sudden, you turned into Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it was really sensational, Mike. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Sorry to interrupt the conversation here.
Sorry you had to hear that. I apologize for that. So we have a lot to get to with you today. Did the Jets do well? A 2, a 4, and a 6 overall. Is this a win-win trade for the Panthers and the Jets?
I think so. I think it is. And look, their future, Zach Wilson, and you could certainly make a pretty coherent argument of why they should have kept Sam Darnold, but at the end of the day, I think from a team-building standpoint, you're better off with a clean slate. Zach Wilson's your guy, and you move forward. And, you know, when you look at it in a very sort of objective way, Sam Darnold just didn't play very well. And to get what they got for him, I think is pretty good value.
Mike, what about the timing of this? I mean, Shefty kind of insinuated that had the Jets gotten the first-round pick that they were looking for, this deal would have been done whenever that was suggested. But now came the time where they got that second round pick, I think, next year, which kind of put them over the top. But I mean, the timing as far as Joe Douglas is concerned, like, it, there was nothing as far as like waiting to, you know, get a chance to see Zach Wilson's medicals and stuff like that. Like, if the deal was out there, he would have made the deal earlier.
Yeah, I think really at this point, guys, like, the hay is in the barn, except for maybe some late information on security or medical update. Like, the hay's in the barn. Teams know what they're going to be doing. So they have checked every box with Zach Wilson. They wouldn't have, you know, finalized this trade if there was any doubt whatsoever what they're doing. And clearly it's Zach Wilson, and they're just moving forward. And I think they were just trying to get the best deal they could. And I think if you're Carolina, what you're saying is, and I may be, you know, in the minority on this one, but I don't think you should rule out a quarterback at 8, but I think for them, this gives them certainty that they have now a quarterback to replace Teddy Bridgewater.
Mike, do you think that there will be a quarterback at 8 for Carolina? Because from everything, from all accounts, it seems like these quarterbacks are all going to come off the board fairly early this year.
Yeah, Chris, it's a great question. I just did a mock draft for ESPN, and I really struggled to try to figure out, because I like all 5 quarterbacks. I have them going to top 8. In my mock, I did have Justin Fields there at 8, but, you know, that's certainly a 50-50 proposition at best. So I think, you know, from a team-building standpoint, if you're Carolina and you like Sam Darnold, the price you just gave up is pretty reasonable from a standpoint of he's under contract for 2 years at roughly $23.6 million, and not knowing what's going to happen at 8, you want to take the bird in the hand.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So we know the Jets are going to take Wilson. That's pretty much a done deal now. You're the GM here on the show right now. Do you love him? I mean, do you look at Wilson and say, this is the right move? I love this guy. He's going to be a big-time quarterback in this league.
I do. I think he has a chance to be really special. I think this Bears repeating, guys, if as a GM, I always define the job as I'm the point guard of information. And if you guys walked into my office, I would have two columns. Column number one is Zach Wilson. Column number two is the following. Sam Darnold, this year's 12th pick, next year's first and third, and in 2023, another first. That's really what Joe Douglas and the Jets just decided to do. And by the way, I understand why they did it. But that's really what you're saying is that's how much better they valued Zach Wilson over Sam Darnold.
Mike, how much do you think this has to do with, I mean, you mentioned fresh start, but how much of the finances with Sam Darnold, where he's at in his contract, had to do with this?
I don't think much of, if any, and here's why. You have a new head coach in Robert Saleh. You have, you know, Joe Douglas, who's looking at this thing long term, and you're saying to yourself, who gives us the best chance to compete year in and year out with Josh Allen? How can we compete with the Buffalo Bills to win a championship? And I agree, the best chance is with Zach Wilson over Sam Darnold. Now, for me, Trey Lance would actually be part of that discussion, because the more you look at Trey Lance, the more intrigued I am. Now, he only played in one game this year, and that brings in a whole other discussion, but I think Trey Lance, of this group of players, the non-Trevor Lawrences, really has intriguing upside, but I totally understand the Zach Wilson decision.
Mike, we just had Shefty on, and he said that there really weren't any other teams that got involved with these talks with the Jets for Sam Darnold, like the Carolina Panthers. Nobody got as far as to discuss the parameters of a trade and what the compensation would look like. Are you a little bit surprised that there wasn't more, you know, attention on Sam Darnold, you know, in terms of those quarterback-starved teams looking to upgrade?
A little bit, you know, Chris. Like, to me, it would be Denver, Houston, Chicago. I think those would have been three teams that would have given up, you know, something of significance for Sam. So that's mildly surprising. But again, if you look at the body of work, it just hasn't been great. Now, he's young, he's high character, he has a ton of ability, but if you're another team and you got to give him the keys to the franchise, that's a heavy lift.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So you mentioned you have your mock draft up on ESPN.com, and people can check it out there. I'm running through it, and none of the picks really surprised me all that much, Mike. And then I get to the Giants at 11, and I've heard really good things about this guy, but this was kind of the first pick you had in your mock draft. I was like, oh, really? That's very interesting. That's the kid out of Georgia, Olajuwon, right? I mean, give us – I've heard him start to be linked to the Giants, but just start to be. I don't think a lot of people know a lot about him, and give us a little insight into him, and do you really think the Giants go defense over offensive line or wide receiver in the first round?
Yeah, I do. I think they have to take a pressure player. You know, we'll see what, you know, O'Shea Jimenez comes back with. You know, Leonard Williams played better than we expected, but they need another pressure player in the front seven. Look, I think they've had a good offseason. Dory Jackson, Galladay, those are upgrades at positions that they absolutely had to. I think maybe they could get a good year out of Solder. Obviously, they've invested a lot in the offensive line. So, to me, it came down to Quiddy Pay, the pass rusher from University of Michigan, and Azeez Ojulari from Georgia. And if you go back and really carefully study the players that Joe Judge has been around in his career, the slight difference to me was Ojulari is a little bit better in terms of the potential to drop and a little bit better athletically in space. So when you have, I think Quiddy Pay is a really good pass rusher, but when you think about what Patrick Graham and Joe Judge want to do, that versatility was why I went with Ojulari. And he's a 3-4 old-fashioned pressure player that is a really good athlete. And I think based on what the Giants have done, adding him gives them a really productive offseason.
Mike, so San Francisco trades the two extra first-round picks to get up to three. Zach Wilson going two to the Jets. I think a lot of people are starting to try to connect dots, you know, what kind of, you know, quarterbacks have had success in Kyle Shanahan's system. And they keep, you know, Mac Jones' name keeps coming up. I mean, do you trade? I don't know how you feel about Mac Jones, but do you trade that much to get up to three to take Mac Jones? Like, do you feel like it's going to be Mac Jones at three?
I do, and I like Mac Jones a lot, and I think it's a really fair point, Rick, to sit here and say, hey, boy, that's a lot to give up for a guy that, you know, 2 months ago people are saying is, you know, whatever, 12 to 20. I think when you're a team and you're convicted about a player, like I've been in my career, you know, a couple years ago, obviously going back to the Jets with Mark Sanchez, and you have to pay X or Y, you're paying the bill and you're convicted in your process. And when you look at Kyle Shanahan, going back to Kirk Cousins and RG3 and Matt Schaub and Matt Ryan, I think Mac Jones really kind of fits some of those quarterbacks really well. And I've said since February, guys, that well before this trade, that the one player that Mac Jones reminds me of the most is Matt Ryan. And you go back to that Atlanta Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and who's the offensive coordinator? It's Kyle Shanahan. So to me, connecting the dots, that makes a ton of sense.
Mike, what are the other positions of need for the Jets going into this draft? Like, we know that they're going to take a quarterback at two, but what's the next position that this team should prioritize in terms of addressing with their draft capital?
I think it's offensive line, Chris. And look, I know they signed Mekhi Becton last year and some other guys like Van Roten and Fan. I don't think they played that well. And I think you're going to have a guy like Zach Wilson. It's offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. And then similar to the Giants, I think the Jets need a real pressure player in the front seven. Hopefully Quinn Williams continues to develop, but they need a guy that could go win one-on-one. And, you know, you look at the system that Coach Salah came from in San Francisco. And again, we're talking about the best in the league, but the depth they were able to amass at the D-line was really impressive. And I think both lines and then maybe corner after that, Chris, is where I would start for the Jets.
Mike, a couple of things I want to know from you. Firstly, you're a boxers guy or no?
Yeah, for the most part, you know, I have a little flexibility, you know, I'm somewhat open-minded.
I like that. That's fair.
Commando,
but, I mean, you're
needs,
not opposed.
That's code for commando.
Oh, really? Really?
Gets hot in Florida, Dave. Gets hot.
Wow. A little schwitzy down there. Ah, interesting. Very nice. All right. And secondly, and maybe this will you know, help us with the second one, tell me a little bit about the why you're so peppy and energized this morning.
Because I'm drinking X2, which is an all-natural healthy drink, which works in Florida, New York. It has all-natural sugar, and it gives you natural, sustained energy with no jitters, no crashes. X2Performance.com, and appreciate you asking.
I truly believe you love coming on the show.
I do. I feel like I'm hanging out with three buddies. There's no doubt about it. You know, there's some things we got to clean up, like punctuality, but there's no doubt I love coming on the show.
We were right there today for you. We were right on time.
Yeah, I mean, at 7:36, I mean, for, you know, DCR standards, you guys are actually early.
Wow.
We set the bar so low.
Yeah. All right, Mike, we appreciate you. Enjoy those boxers, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. Mike Tenenbaum, terrific. See, he's a boxers guy.
Well, no, he said no. He's open to whatever, man.
Oh, but he's involved with God knows what that means.
I told you what it means.
Wow,
he didn't deny it. That's cold for, like, I occasionally just decide I don't want to wear any underwear.
He wants to be free.
Just hang out with
what,
my wango.
I don't know.
What do you mean? You don't need, sometimes it's nice.
No.
The freedom with a nice pair of shorts on, a little breeze up there.
Yeah, thank you for playing the buzzer. 800-919-3776. No, it's a terrible
ride the
idea.
Motorcycle, jump on the motorcycle with the shorts and the undies on?
Another terrible idea. Scott in Albany. Good morning, Scott. You're next up on 98.7.
Hello?
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Just a quick question. I heard Shefty and Mr. Tannenbaum there talking about Mr. Wilson being a foregone conclusion in the draft. I can't help but feel Justin Fields had a pretty good pro day. And I know it's an Ohio State track record at quarterback, but he's not the he's a different type of quarterback coming out of Ohio State. Is it really a foregone conclusion with Wilson at two, or how do you think about Justin Fields maybe slipping in there, a possible smoke screen, or is he just going to fall in the draft?
Why would you have a smoke screen for?
Right.
Why would you have the smoke screen?
Against yourself? That would be Jets-like, wouldn't it? We'll tell ourselves we're not going to take this guy and completely fool ourselves. It'd be like Frank Drebin would be running the draft.
Oh,
the
my
Jets.
Gosh.
Right?
It'd be terrible, Dave. Terrible.
Smoke screen. They'll figure this one out.
It feels like they're going to take Zach Wilson. Like that.
Adam Schefter just told us Zach Wilson. He said he texted him, "Welcome to New York." I feel pretty confident in that, no?
Yeah. No, I feel confident in that, too. I'm still surprised. I'm with Rico on the number three pick being Mac Jones. But, I mean, that's what everybody's saying about the 49ers. I don't understand why they would move up from 12 to 3 for Mac Jones, but we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. But it feels like the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson. Like, we said the draft started at 2. Trevor Lawrence was going to go number 1. Joe Douglas wanted to get his quarterback, and Zach Wilson is the guy that he settled on.
Draft may start at five if you go four quarterbacks in the first four picks.
Do you think Atlanta goes? I'm interested to see what Denver does.
Yeah, I mean, can they trust Drew Locke?
No. Denver, it feels like Denver and Atlanta have to make the deal, don't they, Rico?
It would seem like that, or if it just, I mean, they're just waiting to see what happens with Deshaun Watson.
Let's see what Mike Tenenbaum has with his mock draft. He has Atlanta taking Trey Lance 4.
Well, Matt Ryan's going to be in Atlanta for a couple of more years.
Yeah, they just
because they just redid his deal.
Yep. And then he has Sewell to the Bengals at 5, Jamar Chase to the Dolphins at 6, Waddle to the Lions at 7, Fields to the Panthers at 8, Parsons to the Broncos at 9, Surtain to the Cowboys at 10, and like you mentioned, Ojulari to the Giants at 11. How about this, though? Do you notice the name I didn't call out in those first 11?
Slater.
And Kyle Pitts he has to the Eagles at 12. So I don't know that that happens.
I was just looking at a mock draft yesterday that had Kyle Pitts at 4.
Yeah, well, I think that's a fun thing about mocks. I can't get enough of the mock draft, by the way. I don't know why, but I if someone has a mock draft, I need to partake in it.
We never talked about this. I love the mock drafts, too. I used to love the combine. I mean, I still do. I mean, we'll get back to it. The combine was one of my favorite things to watch. But you guys have any problem with Trevor Lawrence not going to the draft?
No.
I don't know if I would want to miss that moment. I understand what I don't know. That's being the first.
He said he's just
going to
do the friends and family thing at home, right?
Yeah, he's going to do it at Clemson. I think
Clemson.
Oh, at Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think the NFL loves that?
No.
I think the NFL would want him to be there.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be one of the faces of the.
He's the face of the draft, isn't he? I mean, he's going to be the number one pick, and it's not even a question.
No, not even a question. I mean, he's the guy.
He's the guy. All right, let's go quickly. And then we'll play something that that Chris said yesterday, which is spot on. Omar in Brooklyn. Omar, I'm sure you're upset. Good morning. You're on 98.7.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Dave, I want to appreciate it was a good game. But don't we have come to this stage. I have seen all of that. Carmelo Anthony and everything. Julius Randle. I love the edge that he wants to win it. But is it to be a leader that he wants to be, right? I love everything about it, but the edge has gotten far all the time. You have to show your edge towards the game. And how many times I'm going to... listen, I'm tired of losing close games to Brooklyn Nets. I want one W from Brooklyn Nets. I don't care if the three superstars are playing or not. I just want to get over my head that I can beat Brooklyn Nets. I don't care. Brooklyn Nets. I'm from Brooklyn. But I want to beat Brooklyn Nets. I'm tired of losing to close games. And then I go to work and I see a lot of Brooklyn hats. Like our front runners, like the people were from Los Angeles Lakers, like Golden State Warriors. So it is coming to my skin losing to Brooklyn Nets. And last night, let me tell you, I do not like all the time, Dave and everybody, that when a guy, I understand his limitation as a player, Alfred Payton is. He was playing very good defense. Okay, Kyrie Irving hit a big time three. But he was playing very good defense. Plus, he has two clutch buckets. And last play of the game, you're going to extend it while Iman quickly has a terrible game, right? And then the guy who has two clutch baskets down the stretch, you watch timeout when Thibodeau called timeout. Alfred Payton, when he was not in the lineup, he just left the score and he goes on the other side.
Omar, we get you. We understand. I'm frustrated by it too. I want to beat the Nets. They just can't get that done at this point in time. How long do you think he would go on for? If we just said, Omar, the floor is yours and you just go as long as you want.
Oh, I think he'd close out the show, Dave.
Yeah.
Like, he could have gone into KJZ, right?
Yeah.
Because he would have went from, he would have went Knicks, and then he would have said, it would have morphed into the Bills. Like, it would have went everywhere.
Yeah.
Just get going.
I mean, he could have taken you right to the K show at 2, and then he could have given away the money on the K show at the 2 o'clock hour. He would have gone that far. All right. So, Chris, We make fun of everyone on the show, and appropriately so. But you were spot on yesterday when you said this about the Jets and Sam Darnold.
Jets fans need to get past this whole thing. Well, we can take another position player, or we can trade out of two. Forget about that. That's not happening. The Jets are drafting Zach Wilson with the second overall pick. You can book it. That is going to be your quarterback moving forward. The best thing that you can hope for now is that eventually, when you do decide to trade Sam Darnold, that you can get significant draft compensation. It ain't going to be a haul, but you're hoping that you can get, you know, a second or third round pick for him.
Look at you. Spot on. So you get a 2, a 4, and a 6. Well played.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, listen, it was a good deal for the Jets. I mean, it's, you know, Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh don't believe that Sam Darnold's their guy moving forward. They moved off of him. And for, you know, the marketplace that was currently out there, I think it was a good deal that this regime made, and the compensation going back to the Jets is ammunition that Joe Douglas can use to continue to build the roster.
Very well done by you. All right, let's go, Santhi. It's your time. I don't want to cut you short, give you Omar extended time. 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars of DCR. Number 3.
I actually think Omar may have cost himself one by going too long there. He's got to find the sweet spot of, you know, where it's entertaining and where it just kind of drags on a little bit. Anyway, 3rd star is going to go to one John Carlos Stanton answering the Boo Birds. Here's Aaron Boone on his slugger.
I was just walking in with Zillow, and it's just the way he hits them, it's just different. It's like nothing else. He is a unicorn. I mean, that ball was just so pure on a night where, you know, it's probably not flying great, and just hits it through the stadium.
Maybe that'll quiet the Boo Birds for a little bit, but I wouldn't count on it.
They did not boo Aaron Judge
yesterday for looking at a strikeout when it was 7-0. So you never know.
Number 2.
Sam Darnold for getting out of Dodge. And as we just played the Chris Canty sound that clarified what was going to happen, and, you know, we'll take that victory lap. But, you know, Sam Darnold gets a fresh start in Carolina. You hope he finds success, but you also hope that the Jets know what they're doing at the next quarterback, who looks like it will be Wilson, is going to be a stud and will be better than Darnold was.
Number one,
this exchange.
You have my cell phone number, right?
No, I don't have it. I just we can set it up.
Listen, Adam Schefter really improved his stock in the last 24. Listen, he's Adam Schefter. You don't question him. But like 24 hours ago, I had my concerns, and he not only apologized for missing the segment, he made good on it, and he's making good on this little powwow that he and Rick are going to have. So I'm looking forward to how it went down in the DMs with the changing of the phone numbers and how this thing is going to go between you two. So good luck. I hope you enjoy.
You have my phone number, right?
No. I love your answer. You have my phone number. No. In fact, I don't have your phone number. I mean, this is what I do. I mean, all they do is make fun of me, and I facilitate the greatness of my teammates. That's the kind of teammate, in fact, that I am. And now you have Shefty's number, and you do with it what you please. All right. KJZ, they're going to get into a lot of the Sam Darnold conversation. They'll do that in just a moment. We'll be back at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, which I do not appreciate. And of course, $500 in the K-Show starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.